Ches of Friday the 12th of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, from Golas to Geula.
Good morning. Nice to be back here.
Thank you.
Brishus of Imairi. I would like to share a very interesting theme on Yana Diyoma. It's Ches Av, has just been mentioned, in its Erev Shabbos Chazon. The final pasuk in the Haftarah tomorrow, the famous Haftarah of Chazon Yishayo, says, Siyon b'mishpat tipode v'shoveh v'tzdoka. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld notes a fascinating gematria. He says, Siyon b'mishpat tipode. I did the maths yesterday, and you can leave it to you to work out at home in your own time. But it has the same gematria as Talmud Yerushalmi. V'shoveh v'tzdoka is the same gematria as Talmud Bavli. And I think the idea is that the way that we can be zocher to a geula is through Limud HaTorah. So, Mitzvah Hashem, the Limud HaTorah this morning, and generally that the Torah way generates should be zocher to bring about that geula. Everyone should hopefully have a sheet. The Nesiv HaSholem is a very popular sefer. It's becoming increasingly popular in recent years. Written by the Slonim Rebbe, and it's a very beautiful sefer, and he has particularly beautiful pieces when it comes to the Bein HaMetzorim, the 3 weeks. So I would like to just use one paragraph of what he says as a springboard for this morning's shir. The Nesiv HaSholem says as follows. This is from Bamidbar Bein HaMetzorim, it's page 200. Hine tachlis briyosa shel Yehudi, says the Nesiv HaSholem, the tachlis, the main objective, the main purpose of a Jew in this world is shehiya dovuk b'Hashem, that she should generate a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zehoye kol inyonu shebeis hamikdash. And that really was the function of the Beis Hamikdash. Shenisave HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyos leidira b'tachtoinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a residence down in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, as it were, to reside in every single person. It was through the Beis HaMikdash that we could achieve that closeness, that dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? That through the Beis HaMikdash, it would be much easier to live with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Ki beis hamigdash yorad or elokus leilam. Continues in the Nesiv HaSholem, because through the beis hamigdash, a spiritual light descends into this world. Umishom nishba oiri yisparach nisham yisrael. And that is the conduit. Through the beis hamigdash, that light is generated to each individual Jew. Umitoich kach hirgish yehudi es Hashem yisparach v'kirvus elokim. And through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow each Jew to feel that closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he carries on. Kol inyan hargoshas kirvas elokim etzel yehudi nimshach kasher meir boyer hadas. That the kirvas elokim, the feeling of dveikus with Hashem, is through that ur she'oz borchim mistalkim kol koyches hasitra achra. And that dissipates. It dismisses all the negative forces. V'hareu margit shas Hashem yisparach umiskar v'liv yisparach. And that ur can dismiss any negative light. V'ilu kasha Yehudi shor b'chashchus, when a person is residing in darkness, ena margis es Hashem yishbar. V'meila harei hoylich ha-mizrachi chas v'sholom. And that creates a distance. V'zeh, the final line, v'zeh hoya inyin beis hamigdosh, sheheya li Yisrael ba'ar elekusu yisbarach. That was the function of the beis hamigdosh, to create a light that HaKadosh Baruch could shine down in this world. V'mikoychen eskarvel tachlis liyos tevukim b'Hashem yisbarach. And through that, we can achieve our tachlis, our ultimate objective of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Nesiv HaSholem says. If that's the case, if Beis HaMikdash represents the opportunity to fulfill life's goal of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of living with the reality of Hashem's existence, then I think that is a very important and useful springboard to discuss the main theme of this morning. The Gemara in the Darim, I'm not sure what's been said so far this week and the week before last, this week, I'm sure this Gemara has been quoted. It's a pivotal Gemara when it comes to the Bein HaMetzarim. The Gemara in the Darim says, Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, Mai dechsiv mi ha'ish hechachem v'yov v'nesais. What does it mean in the Pasuk, mi ha'ish hechachem, who is the wise man who can understand this? At the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, no one could understand why there was a destruction. Why the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed. Dovo Zeh, says the Gemara, Nishal l'chachomim, this question was asked to the Chachomim, Ulu Nevi'im, V'loi Pirshu. They couldn't explain why there was a Churban. Ad she Pirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmai. Until Hashem himself came along and had to explain it. Tichziv, Vayoyim HaShem, and Hashem answered the question, not the Nevi'im, and not the Chachomim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself answered the question and said, Al Ozrom es Toirasi. Now, the first question that Rabbeinu Yonah asks on this Gemara is, it seems very strange. If the problem at the time was they didn't know why the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, and they had to ask the Nevi'im, they didn't know. They asked the Chachom, they didn't know. They had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the answer was very straightforward. Al-Ozum is Teirosi. So what was it exactly that eluded the Chachomim and the Nevi'im? They couldn't answer this question. So the Gemara does carry on and say, Omrav Yudom Rav, it doesn't mean they abandoned Torah totally, but rather, She'in Mevarachim Ba'Torah Betchila. They didn't make Birchas HaTorah. So, this raises another question. If that is indeed the crime, that they didn't say Birchas HaTorah, whatever that means, how does that fit in with the Gemara in Yuma? The Gemara in Yuma, if you look at the next box after question two, the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Tesamad Beis, Migdash Rishon Mipnei Machorav. Why was the first Beis HaMigdash destroyed? Mipnei Shleisha Devarim Shehoyuboy. Because there were three Averas that the Klal Yisrael were committing. Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayas for Shvichas Domim. The three cardinal Averas, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Domim, and Gil Arayas. How does that fit in with the Gemara in the Darim? The Gemara in the Darim says that the reason why there was a Churban is because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah, Lozm es Teirosi. How does that work? And the third question is this. If indeed the crime was they didn't say Birchas HaTorah properly, how is that alluded to in the Pasuk itself? It's the Pasuk says, Vayoyim HaShem al Ozrom es Teirosi. So where do you see in those words an allusion, if you like, to Birchas HaTorah? Now, the answer to these questions will first of all be found in the words of the Rabbeinu Yonah, brought by a run. It's a famous run on that Gemara in Adarim. And I've taken some ideas that I've seen in the writings of Rabbi Lev, to try and build a very beautiful approach that will hopefully come away with a very meaningful and practical approach to Tisha B'Av. The Rabbeinu Yonah, if you look at the last paragraph on the page, the Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted by the Ran, says the following, Elevadai oiskin hoyu b'Torah tomid. There's no question that at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, Klal Yisrael were learning and were keeping Torah. There's no question. That's why the Chachomim and the Nevi'im were perplexed. Amma of the Horetz, why was the land being destroyed? Until HaKadosh Baruch himself had to come along. Because he is the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the depths of each person's heart. Because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Now what does that mean? Kaloimar, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, that Torah wasn't so choshev for them. That they should make a brach on it. And therefore they weren't learning it lishma. And therefore they were treating the brachas a bit lightly. They were cheapening the brachas. Elu divrei harav hachosid veim noyin ruin lemisha amru. The Ran likes the words and says that they're appropriate. What does he mean? There is a halachic problem with teaching Torah to a crowd, to people who have not said Birchas HaTorah. That is a famous old problem. And Rav Noach Weinberg, the former Rosh Hashiva, the Zichrin Levrach of Eish HaTorah, had this problem more than most. Because he would lecture to Jews who had just been sort of schlepped up from the Kaisel, and this was the first time they've heard Torah, probably ever, and they certainly hadn't said Birchas HaTorah. So there is a halachic problem. Now there's much literature on this, and there are different opinions, but he did the following. And he did this, I think, for two reasons. This is what he did. He would speak to a full crowd of people who have had no affiliation and no education and background in Yiddishkeit. And he would say to them that we are about to commence a Torah class. And before you start learning Torah, we make a blessing. And I'm going to say the blessing on your behalf. And he said Birchas HaTorah for them. Now, I think he did this for two reasons. Number one, it overcame this halachic problem of teaching Torah to people who haven't said Birchas HaTorah. But I think, more importantly, to tell people that what we're about to do is very important. Physics, history, biology, maths, these are all worthwhile pursuits, but this is Torah. This is different. Before you start a physics lecture, you don't make a bracha. Before you start learning Torah, you've got to make a bracha. It shows that this is something chashuv. This is something very special. Now, in the eyes, I'm sure, in the minds of the people who are in the audience, that's quite a powerful message. We're about to undertake something very significant, and therefore I'm going to make a blessing beforehand. That is really what the Rabbeinu Yoni is saying. What Birchas HaTorah represents is how choshev your limud HaTorah is. Your Shmiras HaTorah mitzvahs is really represented by the seriousness with which you say Birchas HaTorah. That's what it represents. It's a symbol of how choshev this is. That's what the Rabbeinu Yoni is saying. Now, I think there's more to it, and this is what Rabbi Lef builds on. He says that many times we lose sight of the bigger picture. And really, Birchas HaTorah is when we say Birchas HaTorah properly, what it means is that our limud HaTorah and our shmiras HaTorah and mitzvahs, there is a recognition of why I'm doing this. There is seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you like, in the bigger picture. He gives the following moshul. We're familiar with Google Earth. Yeah, you can go on Google Maps and you can see, you can span in and see whatever you want to see. So imagine you're zeroing in on your own house. So you go in and then you zoom out and you see it, and then suddenly you go out and out and out until you see the whole of London, the M25, and then you see the British Isles, and then you see the globe Earth. So imagine in your mind you've got a picture of the globe of that is planet Earth. Now imagine you would then put a sphere around globe Earth, and you would cut out 613 windows in this globe, in this sphere. And you're standing on planet Earth, and you're looking out into the wider universe. And there are 613 windows to which to look through to see this outer universe. That is really what each mitzvah is. A mitzvah is a means to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word mitzvah comes from the word connection. The word tzav means a line. Tzav letzav, the Rambam says. Tzav means a line. What is a line? A line is where you're connecting two points. A mitzvah connects us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Too often, we undertake mitzvahs, but we lose sight of the bigger picture. That's what Yaakov Avinu said when he finally met up with Lavan after all those years. He says to him those famous words, Im Lavan garti, v'taryag mitzvahs shamarti, v'loy lamadati me'maisim haroim. So everyone asks, well, what do you mean? Isn't that repetitive? I kept 613 mitzvahs, and I didn't learn from his bad ways. Well, obviously, if you kept 613 mitzvahs, then of course you didn't learn from his bad ways. You kept 613 mitzvahs. The answer is no. You can keep 613 mitzvahs, but you can be a Rosh HaGomu. Let me tell you a maisa. I may have said it in this forum before. If I can't remember, then chances are you can't remember. The Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz was one of the heroes of the 20th century. He insisted on being called Mr. Mendelovitz. Although he had smicha and he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he insisted on being called Mr. Mendelovitz. And they re-coined his name, Nista Mendelovitz. But he was a Sadik Nista. He set up many of the yeshivas in America, and with tremendous selflessness, because he would take away the best boys from his own yeshiva and he would send them off to a new fledgling yeshiva to make sure they were up and running. And he also started the Torah Masorah, the day school movement in America. Tens of thousands of students over the years, hundreds of thousands, have been educated through this through his efforts. Now, to run this massive network of system, he clearly needed a lot of funds. And one time he found himself fundraising. And he was out of town away for a Shabbos. And he needed a place to have a Shabbos meal. And he remembered he had a former Talmud who lived in this certain place. So he got in touch with him. And he said, can I eat with you one of the Shabbos meals? Pleasure. The fellow was honored. His Rosh Hashiva's coming. And they made up they were going to meet in Shul. And then they would come back together for the Shabbos Suda. And this fellow, this Balabos, was a young married man with a young family. And his home on Erev Shabbos looked what I'm sure many homes look like half an hour before Shabbos. We're not quite ready. There's a busyness, there's a mayhem, the kids aren't ready. There's people bumping on the bathroom door. Are you finished? Are you finished? And he, 15 minutes before Shabbos is coming in, he says to his wife, seeing the mayhem, he goes, you know, as often us men often do, shrugs our shoulders and says, I've got to go to shul. And leaves her to try and pick up the pieces. And she's exhausted. And she says, there's no way I can be ready without some sort of shatai, some sort of power nap. So she sits down on the settee and does something very dangerous, tries to have a 10-minute rest. But an hour and a half later, there's a knock on the door and she's awoken by the sight of her husband and the Rosh Hashiva. And if the house looked bad a couple of hours ago, now it's a nuclear explosion. And the husband comes in and he's seething. He's got to put on a good show. His Rosh Hashiva's here. And the house is, the table's not set. There's the Monopoly's been emptied all over the floor. And there's the kids' shoes and the school bags are still by the front door. And he comes in and he sees this is disaster zone. And he's seething, but he can't say anything because the Rosh Hashiva's there. And slowly, between all of them, they start clearing up, setting the table. Eventually, 20 minutes, half an hour later, they're ready to go. And this guy, his blood is boiling, but he's holding back. And then there is the straw that breaks the camel's back. He comes, he's ready to make Kiddush, and everyone is around the table, but the wife hadn't put the challah dekel, the cover challah, over the challahs. And he lets rip. He starts shouting, how can you do this? Don't you know that we've got to cover the challahs? And in front of the Rosh Hashiva and the family, he embarrasses his wife. Not the most, not the finest of middas. And later, Shraga Feivel would think back and would say, how ironic. Because the whole reason that we cover the challahs is to protect the embarrassment of the challahs. Because really, halachically, you should be making a bracha on the challahs first, but we make kiddush first. But not to embarrass the challahs, you put a challah dekel over it. Fine. When was the last time you saw an embarrassed challah? Yeah, when was the last time you saw that you're about to make Kiddush and all of a sudden the challah storms away from the table, runs out to the bedroom, shuts the bedroom door, I'm not coming down again. A teenage daughter perhaps. But a challah? The point is, it's meant to teach us sensitivity. And this guy had lost the plot. The very thing which meant to teach sensitivity, he was using that as a tool to embarrass his wife. That is a very good example of someone who loses sight of the bigger picture. And that is what takes place in Churban Bayis Rishon. Rav Alef says the following. The catalyst, the beginning thing was, they were mezalza b'Torah. They were learning, they were keeping, they were all the hidurim. But there was a disconnect. They weren't seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. That's what not making Birchas HaTorah represents. They're not seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the bigger picture. And once you cut the Ribbono Shel Olam out of the picture, that is a very dangerous and steep, slippery slope to get down to what the Gemara in Yuma refers to as the Gimel Averus Chamurus. So when the Gemara in Yuma says it's because of the Gimel Averus Chamurus, yes, that's the end picture. That's what happens at the end of the process. They committed the three Averus Chamurus, that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But what was the starting point? The starting point was, they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. What does that mean? There is a disconnect. They didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. Rabbi Lev tells the following story. He was a young Rav in Miami. Before he went to Eretz Yisrael, he was a Rav in Miami in his late 20s. And he was approaching Yom Kippur, and he gets a call from an older lady in his kehillah. And she's got a problem. What's the matter? Her husband, who's in his late 80s, has been told by the doctors for the first time ever he has to eat on Yom Kippur. So what's the problem? That he's refusing to eat. He's insisting on fasting on Yom Kippur. So, but I don't know what to do. He's not listening to me. Will you speak to him? Fine. He goes round then, he speaks to the fellow, and he says, listen, I've spoken to your doctors, I've looked into this, and you have to eat on Yom Kippur. That is what halacha, that is what the Shulchan Aruch says. So this fellow sits upright, he looks young Rabbi Lef in the eyes, and he says to him, look, I am 3 times your age. I have fasted for over 75 years. And no one is going to tell me to eat on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Lef says, fine, I can't force you to eat. But one thing I can do is that I can ensure that you'll never get an aliyah in my shul again. So the guy says, why not? So he says, because I don't give aliyahs to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So he says, what? He says, I don't give aliyahs to people who worship Avodah Zarah. What do you mean Avodah Zarah? He says, look, Hashem Elokei Yisrael says, in your situation, you've got to eat on Yom Kippur. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. If you refuse and you want to fast, then you're obviously serving some other god. Now, I don't know if that god is called Baal, Zeus, or Avodah Zarah, or Yom Kippur. But either way, you've got to fast. You've got to eat. So you're not listening to what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, whilst we can all empathize with this gentleman, and it's no doubt very difficult and we shouldn't be in such a situation. But what is the root of the problem? The root of the problem is that he's not seeing the bigger picture. Why do we fast on Yom Kippur? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you fast on Yom Kippur. Why does this fellow have to eat on Yom Kippur? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in your situation, you've got to eat on Yom Kippur. That is a disconnect. And that was really the problem at the time of Bayis Rishon. And all of that is really reflected in those words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Al ozvam es toirasi. Don't say ozvam es ha-toira. It's ozvam es toirasi. It's my Torah. They cut me out of the picture. And that's what the brachas represent. If you look at the brachas, the nusach of the brachas, that's really what it says. It says, asher kishonu b'mitzvosof. The purpose of Torah is to make us holy. Yoidei shemecha. We should try to know and to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to develop a connection with Him. And Asher Boch Abon Mikol Ha'amim, which means we've got a duty, we've got a responsibility to live in a certain way, to become a godly nation. And I think that idea, that concept of making a Kiddush Hashem, and of creating a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Nesiv HaShalom says, that is really what the Beis HaMikdash was for. The function of the Beis HaMikdash was to create that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Churban, if Beis HaMikdash represents a Kiddush Hashem, and to live the way we should live, then a lack of a Beis HaMikdash, Golus, a Churban, is the biggest Chil Hashem. So the onus is on us to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Because that is really, because what is Mekadosh Shem Shemayim? The more we recognize that we're living with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Kiddush Hashem. The I heard a story a few weeks ago. I checked it with the fellow in question. I've written it on this week's Oneg. So if you look at the front, the Oneg, I've mentioned this story. I checked with the fellow in question, I could say his name, he told me, yes, the editor of the Oneg, I didn't tell him this point, so he's changed it, a businessman who I know. It's Gerald Halibard. Listen to this interesting story. Gerald Halibard, many years ago, was on a train back from town, Erev Shabbos. He was coming back on the underground, and it had been a long week, and he was tired, you know what it's like, Friday afternoon. And he's sitting there, and the lady opposite him had an even more exhausting week. But she sat down, and as she sat down, she put her handbag down next to her, and she fell asleep. And that was it. As the train emerges from the tunnel in Golders Green Station, as it approaches Golders Green Station, suddenly the sun comes in. We've all seen it, we've all been there. And this lady was sort of startled by the rays of the sun, and she sort of emerges from her slumber. And suddenly, a moment or two later, the train comes to a halt in Golders Green Station, and she suddenly realizes this is her stop. So she jumps up and runs out of the train. And Gerald Halibard is watching the entire scene unfold before his eyes. And he sees that she's left her bag on the train. And the train doors shut, and the train moves off, and the last thing this lady sees is a frum Jewish businessman stand up approaching her handbag. Right? He takes the handbag home. It's Erev Shabbos. He hasn't got long. He hasn't got time to start finding out who it belongs to, making phone calls. He's going to leave it to Motzei Shabbos. He goes home, so Motzei Shabbos, he makes Avdolah. He then looks around, finds out the number of this lady. He calls her up, and she says, "Have you got my bag?" "Yes, I'm so pleased. I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting for this phone call. Can I come around now?" "Pleasure." She comes around 5 minutes later, very relieved, and she gives him a bottle of wine. Now, I don't know about you, but I would just say thank you very much, Colton. But he's very insightful, and he notices that the wine is a kosher bottle of wine from a kosher store. So he says to her, "Where did you buy this? Because all the kosher stores are shut today." So listen to what she said. She said, "When I saw a religious Jew stand up approaching my handbag, I knew that he was going to call me as soon as he could. And in anticipation of that phone call, I went straight to a kosher shop to buy a bottle of wine to say thank you." Astonishing. A remarkable Kiddush Hashem. That is, the Chofetz Chaim says we're now approaching the holiday season. Tisha B'Av is this sort of brick wall. It's hard sometimes to see beyond. Maybe that's a good thing. But we're also approaching, this is the holiday season. And perhaps I can just end with two very short ideas. The Pasuk says, the Chofetz Chaim says a beautiful idea on the Pasuk for Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, at the burning bush. The Pasuk says, "Ki hamokom asher ata omed olav admas kodesh." The very end of the second sheet. The land on which you're standing is admas kodesh. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that whatever situation a Jew finds himself in, any place, any time, anywhere, there is an opportunity to be mekadesh shem shemayim. Wherever you are, there is Admas Kodesh. And finally, I can't remember where I heard this idea, but it's a very beautiful idea. As we approach the holiday season, and at the back of our minds, we're thinking of the Vera, the Menucha that we hope to have, the Shmoneh Esrei of Shabbos Mincha comes to light. In that Shmoneh Esrei, in the paragraph of Ato Echot, we make reference to different types of Menucha. And that really is different reasons why people go on holiday. People go on holiday for menuchas ahava onadova, to spend time with their loved ones, with their families. Menuchas emes ve'emuna. It's a time to recharge the spiritual batteries, to daven a bit more slowly, to learn a bit more. There's menuchas sholom v'shalva hashket uvetach. There's a time just to relax, to recharge the emotional and the physical batteries, to have a bit of tranquility. All of those objectives are very laudable and are fine. But the key is the last line. Whatever the menucha is, it should generate a Kiddush Hashem. And in Miss Hashem, through those ideas, through the Limud HaTorah like I began with, of Tzien Bamishpat Tzipodeh, and through the Kiddush Hashem, i.e. the living with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was really the catalyst in the beginning of the slippery slope which led to the Gimel Averis Chamuros, we should be zochim es Hashem to a gula shleima b'mheira v'yameinu.